You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
Mom, it's okay. It's okay, I'm here. We're in the hospital, remember?
Let go of me. Let me go!
No, Mom! No, wait, help!
Let me out of here!
Help!
Let me go!
Anna has spent the last year processing the agonizing death of her mother.
You think I'll ever be able to get a good night's sleep again?
The job would be good for you. It'll give you something else to focus on. To take your mind off
of... Take my mind off of what? She's not here anymore, okay?
I'm really worried about you, but I can stay around if you don't want to get better.
Troubled by the insanity that's afflicted her family for generations.
And I'm not really sure how you can help me out, but I decided to come. And so, well, I don't know, maybe you do think I'm crazy? Is that genetic?
She'll soon discover that you can't truly bury the past, and that there are legacies from which you cannot escape.
Pedro Gomez, I'm an attorney here on behalf of Rodolfo Mendez.
Oh.
I'm here to discuss your father's estate. He left behind an inheritance for you. The first matter is a home he left you in Valle de Bravo.
What if I say no?
Sonoro presents Cassettes. A podcast series about the emotional onslaught of grief and the ghosts that linger through generations of family trauma.
Oh my God, you won't believe what I just found. I found a photo of me, 5 years old or so.
Oh, that's a great photo. You look so sweet. Nothing has changed. Wait a minute, that mole in the picture, is it yours or is just a stain on the photo?
Starring Martha Higareda.
Seems my dad has been hiding tapes all over the house. This one has another letter on it.
And featuring performances by Mariano Palacios, Odiseo Bichir, and Patricia Mantelola. Cassettes is a psychological thriller following Anna's unraveling as she discovers a series of hidden tapes that reveal her family's darkest secrets.
There are so many things I wish I could have told you. So many things still left unsaid. I tried to speak to you, but you would never listen. This was the only way I could think to do this, and I hope you listen now. You think you know who your mom and I were, but there's so much you don't know.
There's nothing more frightening than realizing you've become the worst version of your parents. And that the scariest ghost is not the one living outside, but inside of you.
It's a little house. Just try to get some sleep and stop being afraid of everything, okay?
Is there anything more terrifying than living with your own demons? Listen to Cassettes wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like stories of secrets, you'll love Spy Sisters, a special edition from True Spies, showcasing the incredible women who've run some of the world's greatest espionage operations. From heroines of World War II...
You knew that their life was what you were trying to save.
...to the brains behind contemporary missions.
And they were armed with long guns.
You'll meet the amazing women who navigate this secret world.
I destroyed all the records that I had at the house and the office.
I felt like I had a target on my back.
I thought, they just might shoot me.
What do they know?
All I knew is I had to get out. I had to save these women.
What are their skills?
I had no compass, no map.
And what would you do in their position?
There were wiretaps under some of the desks.
We ended up having to walk out into this bombing campaign.
I have no regrets.
He killed so many innocent people. He is such a true monster.
I knew I would either escape or die.
Subscribe to Spy Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you. As fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Guess what? We're back.
Welcome to episode 68 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
This is Jim.
Hi, this is Kit.
Hey, friends, this is Jessica.
Listeners, our most recent episode was on July 15th, so it hasn't been too long for you to wait for this one.
We had originally planned for 2 episodes in July, but it just didn't work out.
You can mainly blame that on me. It's been a crazy summer. But now that fall is around the corner and things are settling down, I think everything will be able to get into a better routine.
We know that we make that promise practically every single time, but this time, we are going to do everything in our power to stick to it.
Yes, we are.
But here's another important thing that we need you to know. When we give you information in episodes, we want it to be well-researched and well-thought-out. And made with care and love for our listeners. However, with everything else that is going on in our lives, we don't want our episodes to lose that standard.
And 9 times out of 10, that is the main reason for delay in creating and releasing new episodes.
Now, with that being said, here are a few very important things that we would have mentioned if there had been a second episode in July. First, July 2023 was the 6th year anniversary of the Forgotten News Podcast.
Second, in July 2023, we reached over 200,000 downloads in the time since the launch of this podcast, way back in 2017.
Woohoo!
I cannot believe it's been that long, and I've been with the show almost the whole time. It's crazy.
And according to the analytics of the podcast search engine Listen Notes, this show is in the top 2% of podcasts overall.
Wow. That's amazing.
Personally, I think that all of that is pretty exciting. And it definitely gives me some extra incentive to try to get everything back on track.
Now, one of the first things that we are going to do to get things on track is getting ready for our annual Halloween episode in October. So, if you would like to submit a story about any spooky or paranormal experience that you have had, just send us an email no later than October 2nd, 2023. It can be either written or an audio recording. It can be long or short. We will include it on the episode as long as it's clear and in plain English. Just send it to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com and put Halloween in the subject line. Thank you in advance, and we look forward to hearing from you.
And speaking of getting things back on track, we are going to immediately get that started by packing two great stories into this one episode. These two stories are both true crime murder cases.
But first, as always, we will begin with a short advisory so that you will know the gist of the story, and then you'll know if you want to continue to listen or not.
First, the story of Miss Mexico. No, that wasn't her name. She was the winner of a nationwide beauty contest in which she was crowned as Miss Mexico.
However, not long afterward, she was arrested and put on trial for killing her husband. Or, more precisely, the man who she thought was her husband.
The story will be told by my lovely and talented co-hosts, Kit and Jessica.
Then, after that, we will present the story of the young woman who became the first female in the U.S. to be convicted and executed for murder.
But there is a lot more to these two stories than just that. And because of that reason, we will give you a few additional words of warning.
So, if you are of a nervous or sensitive disposition, or get frightened easily, we advise you calmly but sincerely to simply turn off this episode now.
Finally, we do not recommend these stories for children under the age of 14 because it could be upsetting or even frightening to young ears.
Parental discretion is strongly advised.
So, with all that having been said,
on with the show! In 1928, an 18-year-old girl made history in Mexico. After winning the title Miss Mexico in the first contest ever held to crown the most beautiful woman in the country, this young woman was Maria Teresa Landa. She was born on October 15, 1910. She was the daughter of middle-class parents who realized early in her life that she was far more intelligent than most children her age. They strongly encouraged her in all of her academic pursuits.
In fact, by the time she reached her early teens, Maria Teresa had practically breezed through school and quickly became enrolled in college. She not only graduated at age 17, but she also passed the difficult examinations to become a qualified orthodontist less than a year later.
On March 8, 1928, her grandmother passed away. Maria and her family attended the funeral, where she happened to meet General Moses Vidal, a handsome 34-year-old man.
Maria and Vidal began a romantic relationship very soon after their first meeting, and they were often seen out and about. Vidal treated her to fashionable restaurants, theaters, and other entertainment in Mexico City, the nation's capital. However, Maria's parents absolutely hated the relationship between their daughter and the general, mostly due to their 16-year age gap, but also because Vidal came from a much lower social class.
Now, at this point, our story takes an unexpected turn. A prominent Mexican newspaper announced that it was sponsoring a nationwide beauty pageant in Mexico City. The winner would be crowned Miss Mexico and then sent to Galveston, Texas in the U.S. to represent the country in an international beauty contest.
Maria entered the contest. It is unclear as to whether it was her idea or her boyfriend's. But regardless, once she entered, she decided to go full steam ahead. She used her brains and ingenuity to do whatever she could think of to win.
Maria unwittingly sparked controversy and commotion across the country when she posed in a bathing suit for a newspaper photo. Mexican conservative organizations responded with outrage, using words like indecent and obscene.
Nevertheless, in spite of the uproar, or possibly because of it, Maria won the title of Miss Mexico. Now, this is just a Jessica side note, but everybody loves a babe in a bathing suit, okay? Let this girl live.
Her victory was celebrated with a large parade in Mexico City, in which she was seated on a throne while being carried on a float.
Now, at this point, there is something that you need to know about Maria Teresa Landa. First, she is often described with the word beautiful. However, she wasn't beautiful in the classical way.
For example, if you look at photographs of young women that became famous movie stars during the 1920s, you will usually see almost immediately the reasons why they were called beautiful by the public. But that is definitely not the case with Maria.
She was not a girl with long flowing curls, sparkling eyes, or a smile that makes you think of springtime.
Instead, Maria was the type of girl that a lot of women love to hate because, somehow, her imperfections made her perfect.
In other words, there was something extra about Maria. An indescribable something that made her almost irresistible to members of the opposite sex.
Men were attracted to her like bees to a flower. But after she met General Fidel, she had no interest in any of them.
So, on that note, let's return to our story. Now, as you might have guessed, Maria's parents did not like any of the massive publicity that their daughter was getting and refused to talk to her. In addition, her boyfriend, General Vidal, was becoming increasingly jealous of the attention that she was attracting, particularly the thousands of letters and gifts that she was receiving out of the blue from men across the country. Some of them even sent photographs of themselves with marriage proposals.
Maria was sent to Texas to participate in the International Beauty Contest, but unfortunately, she did not win. However, she received dozens of job offers, but she rejected all of them.
Instead, she quickly returned to Mexico, where she and General Vidal quietly married on September 24, 1928.
But the following year, on August 25th, 1929, the same newspaper that had sponsored the contest published a story that revealed the fact that General Vidal had committed bigamy and adultery when he married Maria. The general had not only been married, but also he had two children.
This woman, ironically, was also named Maria Teresa. And they had been married for 5 years at the time of his so-called marriage to Maria. Sorry, that was a Jessica reaction. So, on the morning of August 25th, 1929, the heartbroken young woman who had thought she was a newlywed took her husband Smith & Wesson 44 caliber pistol and confronted the general.
Maria told him that she was going to end her life. She yelled at him,
"I can't take it anymore. I'll kill myself."
General Vidal begged and pleaded with her to put the gun down.
But instead, out of hatred and humiliation, she fired 6 shots directly at him. 2 bullets hit the general's face, and 4 others hit his body. Maria was arrested shortly afterward.
She thereafter refused to speak to the police or anyone else in regard to the incident, except for her lawyer, Jose Lozano. He was nicknamed the Prince of Speech as a result of his skills as a trial lawyer.
Lozano vigorously defended Maria as being the victim of a hostile society, as well as a victim of repeated physical abuse by General Vidal. In court, throughout her trial, she wore clothing that was modest and all black. Lozano argued that the shooting was self-defense because of repeated threats that the general had made against Maria and that she had been mentally consumed by the dishonor and embarrassment that Vidal's bigamy and adultery brought her.
In contrast, the prosecutor painted Maria as an immoral and shameless killer. He displayed photos of Maria in her swimsuit, as well as others in which she was wearing a short, form-fitting dress. However, as her lawyer pointed out, she had only worn them at the beauty pageant. Maria's beauty allegedly had a hypnotic effect on the people who attended her trial. At one point, she was allowed to speak in her defense. And according to news reports from the time, no one could look away from her as she addressed the court and the jury.
After her short speech, in which she acknowledged murdering her husband, the spectators in the courtroom erupted into cheering and clapping. Some of them even burst into tears.
The jury decided that Maria was not guilty, and thus Miss Mexico calmly walked out of the courtroom, a free woman.
But following this acquittal, Maria Teresa Landa simply disappeared from public life. She never remarried despite the interest expressed by many men.
Instead, she devoted her life to teaching history at a school in Mexico City.
She passed away in 1992 at the age of 82.
And that is the end of the story of Maria Teresa Landa, the hypnotically beautiful Miss Mexico who admitted to committing a homicide but was found not guilty by a jury.
Wow.
What a wild ride.
Man, that story was insane. I mean, I don't condone killing your husband, even if he technically isn't your husband and he has another wife, but the fact that she did it in cold blood and then got off after admitting it, that's kind of crazy to me. But that was an amazing story. It really was. Now, listeners, especially our male listeners, please be sure to remember this story as a cautionary tale, because it honestly comes down to this. If you are a married man and you happen to meet a gorgeous girl somewhere and you decide that you want to have a romantic relationship with her, we have some advice for you. First, just don't do it, unless you are very unhappy in your marriage. But even if that is the case, be sure to get a divorce first.
Get a divorce.
Now, on the other hand, if you are legally married, please do not be abusive or act like an insanely jealous jerk, and definitely don't cheat on your wife. Please don't.
Otherwise, you are just asking for trouble, and the consequences for you could be fatal.
Moral of the story? You can be the most beautiful woman in Mexico, and men are still the worst. This story is triggering. You know what? I'm going to give married guys some advice. Nobody asked me for this. But if you're having a hard time in your marriage, how about try being nice to your wife and see if she'll be nice to you back? Just saying. Just put that out there. Okay. Nobody asked me.
By the way, this is not the first time on this podcast where we have told the story of a pretty girl who killed her cheating husband or lying boyfriend in cold blood and got away with it by just sitting in the courtroom looking young and sweet and somehow magically convincing a jury that she was just naive, dumb, and innocent, and had no idea what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the gun was in my hand, but I didn't pull the trigger. I don't know how it went off. Honest, I don't know anything about it.
Thinking is hard for me.
So, the truth is, your death might just not be avenged. If you somehow get yourself killed by an angry wife or girlfriend.
And now, with that public service announcement out of the way, we will move on to our other featured story in which a beautiful and cunning young woman does get caught and punished. This is the story of Bathsheba Spooner and her successful scheme to kill her husband. However, it was not entirely successful, because she became the first woman in the history of the U.S. to be put on trial and executed for the crime of murder. But our presentation of this story is going to be a little unique because it is actually going to be an audio dramatization taken from an old-time radio show called Crime Classics. And in fact, this story is taken from the first episode of that show on December 3rd, 1952. And with all of that having been said, here it is.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Harlan. Listen. The man in nondescript uniform dropping stones into that well is a mercenary soldier. More recently, a deserter. He's testing the depth of the well, the only way he knows, since a length of rope is not immediately available. And more complicated machines are as yet undiscovered. This is the year 1778, and the deserter is named James Buchanan. Next to him is his friend, another deserter, whose name is William Brooks. These men are in the employ of Mrs. Bathsheba Spooner of Brookfield, Massachusetts, whose well it is. Mrs. Spooner will pay these men immediately they deposit the body of her murdered husband, right down there. And tonight, my report to you on the crime of Bathsheba Spooner, the first woman to be tried for murder in the United States. Crime Classics, a new series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Thomas Highland. The place is Brookfield, Massachusetts, the year 1778. Scene? The home of Joshua and Bathsheba Spooner, a large and respectable dwelling, two stories in height, situated on the north side of the road from Brookfield to Worcester. In the front of it and nearly opposite on the south side of the road are stately elms and a well. And in the living room, there's this.
What manner of woman are you, Bathsheba? There's no content in you and no happiness.
And what happiness have you given me? A life that dies quickly. Cooking and sewing. And from you, drunken sleep.
And you've not answered me. You would like to see me dead, would you not?
Listen to me, Joshua. When you returned this morning from Worcester, my heart sank in me. I'd hoped you wouldn't come back.
That I would have an accident. That in some way I would be killed.
Yes.
That you would be free then.
Yes.
To walk the town, newly widowed with a wandering eye.
Yes.
And you listen shrew. I am your husband, and I am your lover, and that's the way things are.
Old man! Old man! Ezra? Ezra?
I've been waiting. Bathsheba.
Wait.
No more waiting, Bathsheba. The time I was away from you, with your husband in Worcester. The thinking about you.
And there'll be more waiting. Until it's done. Until you kill him.
I tried, but I could not.
He asked me a question, my husband did. What manner of woman are you, he asked. Now I wonder. What manner of woman am I to love such as you, a youth? A boy who pretends to manhood. You, without the courage to...
The poison you gave me. There was no opportunity, Bathsheba.
And a boy who lies. Opportunity. When it becomes nighttime, my husband becomes a drunkard. You know that. To empty the poison in the cup when you were with him, a simple thing like that you couldn't do.
I swear it to you, Bathsheba. He'll die.
When? Go to him now. To the tavern where he is. Empty the poison.
I threw the poison away.
With no courage.
Bathsheba.
Speak my name and bedevil yourself with it.
Just kiss me, Bathsheba.
No kisses. No secret whisperings. None of that. No more. Until my husband is dead. Laugh then, you'll see I mean it.
There's a wench, Bathsheba, at the other end of town. And she watches me when I walk by.
Then go to her.
All right.
Wait. Don't leave me.
You almost let me go.
Boy, you...
Bathsheba.
Kill him. Kill my husband.
Later.
And that was Bathsheba Spooner. You've come to know her pretty well. You've seen her hating, you've seen her loving. There's more you should know. She was the sixth child of an illustrious man, General Ruggles. The general was a man of great wealth and lived in a style of unusual luxury for that day. He kept 30 horses and had a park of 20 acres for deer and a pack of hounds for the amusement of numerous visitors. He was a man intensely loyal to the British crown and never hid his loyalties. And so, at the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, he was forced to give up his estate and to leave the country. His married life was also pretty bad, and he and his wife did not set a good example to his children in their conjugal relations. Bathsheba sprang from that kind of a household. Her loyalist background in time of war, and the very fact of the name she had, Bathsheba, were sufficient cause for the town in which she lived to view her with alarm. But keep this in mind. Bathsheba Spooner is going to murder her husband. How? Well, let's see how time and motive and circumstance conspire to get a man violently dead. The man, Joshua Spooner. Let's pick him up and see what he's doing. It's the same evening, and since it's after dark, he's drinking. And in Brookfield, there's only one public house in which to drink, Cooley's Tavern. And that's where he is.
Oh, no, Doctor. Then what would you do?
To trap General Burgoyne, very simple. Hand me your tankard, Dr. King. Now, and here, this spoon, the line of march of Burgoyne.
Uh-huh.
And your tankard and mine, two sections of the troops of General Washington.
Uh-huh.
Now watch.
And that's how we take care of General Burgoyne.
Yeah. Barkeep, more ale.
Joshua Spooner talks of strategies and drinks his ale. But mark this. Near the bar, another table. Two men. Men in nondescript uniforms. Deserters from the army of General Burgoyne. Their names? James Buchanan and William Brooks. They've made known the fact that they've deserted the enemy, so their drinks are on the house and the appreciative customers. They're having a fine time.
Drink your ale, Will. Make me a toast and I'll drink with you.
And a toast you shall get. Burgoyne is a scurvy...
Louder, Will, louder, else we'll pay for our own ale.
Aye. A toast.
Aye, I'll give you a toast
to that scurvy, plump, bellied Burgoyne. May he rot in the wilderness.
That is, if he don't drown coming across the St. Lawrence.
Gentlemen.
And a merry evening to you.
Joshua Spooner is my name, and it would do me proud if you would permit me...
Ale is what we're drinking, sir.
Ale for the patriots!
And patriots we are, indeed, goodness.
Oh, yes. We joined General Washington, sir, and his colonials. You should know that. And from here, we go to Worcester, where a column of Washington's heart is a... Oh. Ale. To you, sir, and thanks to you.
My pleasure.
Willibach, your tankard is dry, and so is mine.
If you will permit me, gentlemen, it would be my pleasure. My pleasure indeed.
It would be Mr. Spooner's pleasure indeed to buy the lads more ale, as was the custom. True, it was 1778, but the etiquette was the same. Nothing too good for our boys. And the deserters in Cooley's bar were off to join our boys. As a matter of fact, it was Mr. Spooner's pleasure to direct James Buchanan and William Brooks to Worcester to become soldiers in Washington's army. It just happened that one of the landmarks that Mr. Spooner gave the lads went something like this.
Now, mark you, a pile of elms and a well, and across the road from it, my house. When you pass there, you'll be leaving Brookfield. then you will know you're on your way. We'll have another ale before you leave.
You're a gentleman if I ever met one.
Oh, a true one, James, my lad. A real gent.
So they touched tankards, the deserters and Joshua Spooner, and they made tearful farewell. And the deserters left and walked the road toward where the elms were, and a house, and a well. Let's go on ahead of them. Let's get back to the lady. Bathsheba's home. Bathsheba's fixing her hair. And the youth Ezra, he's tying into it night ribbons, a lover's tender gesture. Their talk, however, is shocking.
Perhaps you're right. Perhaps the best way is not to poison him.
I say shoot him.
Perhaps, in such a way as to make it appear as an accident. Will you shoot him, Ezra? Tightly with the ribbon, dear. Ezra?
I have not the courage for it.
But you know of guns and shooting. You were in the army for a year.
I marched. I shot no one. I marched upon an ambush and was wounded. Myself, I never pulled a trigger.
If not you to kill him, Ezra, then someone.
Yes. Turn from your mirror, Bathsheba, and look at me.
Oh, listen. Do you hear?
Yes. Drunkards.
Someone. Go to the window.
Drunkards. Two of them by the moon. British deserters. I've seen them in town.
Call to them.
Bathsheba.
Call to them.
Hello! You there!
What do you want?
I'll talk to them.
A lady wants to talk to you.
A lady? At a lady's service any time.
Let them in, Ezra.
The Bathsheba Spooner who greeted the deserters must have been quite a sight. Tall, long hair, and blue ribbons. There must have been a fire in the fireplace, and in all probability she was standing in front of it. Her manner was gracious, and she was smiling. Ezra served the liquor. All in all, it was the nicest thing that could possibly have happened to two fellows who had deserted General Burgoyne.
And now, gentlemen, a question.
We bow. Bow, James, my lad. Say on, my lady.
How would you gentlemen like 500 pounds to see you on your long journey?
Mir Hanult would warm the cockles, wouldn't it, Will?
It would. Does that answer you, my lady?
And what would you do for it?
There is nothing that Will and I have not done, and for less handsome payment from less handsome women.
Far less.
Kill my husband.
This lad, the one you call Ezra.
Come here, lad. The next skinny ones don't take long for twisting.
Bathsheba!
Not him. Not Ezra.
Not him, Jack.
Then who?
My husband will return from his drinking. Will you wait for him? Kill him? When he returns, meet him outside at the door and greet him. Will you?
Not only for the money, dear lady, but for the pleasure of your presence to two tired soldiers. Right, Jane?
It's the truth.
You be the master of this house.
Yeah. And you are the two...
That we be.
This one was a struggler, he will.
Get the woman. The one she calls Ezra.
Aye.
Mrs. Spooner. Come see, it is done.
And a tidy job, if I say so myself, Mrs. Spooner.
And now he's dead.
What will you do with him?
There's a well across the road.
Aye. Give us a hand, James. And you, Ezra.
I'll walk with you.
Ah. It's a deep well.
Poor little man.
And that's how Joshua Spooner died. And that's how Bathsheba Spooner killed him.
You are listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Hyland. And now, once again, Thomas Hyland and the second act of Crime Classics and his report to you on the crime of Bathsheba Spooner. Listen to this. It's awful and dread, this tale that I tell. Joshua Spooner lies dead in a well in Brookfield Town in 78, from 6 stout whacks across the pate. Small poem by an anonymous contributor to the Worcester Spy, the local newspaper of the day. A change of scene now. Across the road from a cold well into a warm living room. Tableau, four people.
Mr. Spooner was such an elegant man. What will become of his clothes in his closet and his horse?
You may have them.
Come away from the window, Bathsheba. Here, to me, close.
The stars are dancing.
You're shivering. Are you cold?
No.
Will is very weary, Widow Spooner. We'll not go on to Worcester tonight.
Then wait till morning. You can make a place for yourselves in the barn.
But the money we'll have now. And the clothes and the horse.
Yes, all of it. Ezra.
Yes?
In the morning, you will go to Cooley's Tavern. Inquire of Joshua. Tell them he's not been home. Tell them I'm frantic for his welfare.
Yes.
Good night, gentlemen. A very good night.
Cooley.
Aye? Had Grogan a nippy morning, Mr. Ross?
I've been sent to inquire of Joshua Spooner.
Who sent you?
The wife of him, Bathsheba.
Did she now? And why?
Last night he did not return home, and Mrs. Spooner is frantic for his welfare.
Not home? Well, he's not here. Last night he sat right there, my lad, and discussed military strategies with the doctor. Then, to the best of my knowledge, he went home.
Dr. King. Doctor, wake. Wake up. Please, Doctor, wake up. It's important.
What is it? What?
Where is Joshua Spooner?
Where is he?
Mr. Cooley says he sat with you last night.
As indeed he did, and left me.
He's not home.
What?
Mrs. Spooner sent me to fetch him. She's troubled that he's not returned.
But where else could he have gone if not to his wife?
We must find him, Doctor.
Yes, by all means.
Ezra did that very well, with the precise shading of alarm in his voice, the concern. A man on an errand for a troubled lady. Everybody was impressed. Mr. Cooley closed his bar. Dr. King appealed to the neighborliness of the other customers, and everybody went looking for Joshua Spooner. Immediately, they called on Mrs. Spooner, whom they found in the greatest apparent distress. Upon an examination of the premises, in the neighborhood of the doorstep, they observed the tracks of several persons on the snow. And on further search, they found Mr. Spooner. You know where? In the well. So far, only horror and suspicions. But now, let's pick up Willie and James. They haven't left Brookfield. Stupid of them, isn't it? But then you've got to examine it from their point of view. Why become soldiers in Washington's army, especially in the winter, and suffer the privations of the military, when they could be warm and rich as a civilian? So, imagine it. Two tatterdemalion deserters, suddenly elegant, in Mr. Spooner's clothes, which were somewhat tight-fitting. But elegance and tight-fitting are somehow akin. Now, there lived in Brookfield a certain wench whose name is lost in history. This much is known about her. She had an eye for tight elegance. This much is known about her, too. that she went riding with Willie and James on their newly acquired horse.
I'll help you down.
Now, James, no, no.
Give us a bus, dearie. That's a dearie.
Will?
Aye.
How is it we are riding Mr. Spooner's horse?
Why, dearie, we don't know a Mr. Spooner.
Aren't these Mr. Spooner's silver buckles?
No.
Aren't you wearing his clothes?
These are our clothes, dearie. Come, let's ride some more. It brings the pink to your pretty cheeks.
But the cat was out of the bag. The girl told her mother, and her mother her father. And it so happened that her father was at that moment on his way to look for the murderers of Joshua Spooner. So the father told some neighbors, and they located James and Willie, brought them all together. The two deserters, Ezra and Bathsheba. And this is what happened.
The jurors for the government and people of Massachusetts Bay in New England on their oath present that William Brooks and James Buchanan and Ezra Ross in the county of Essex, not having God before their eyes, an assault did make upon Joshua Spooner, feloniously, willfully, and of their malice aforethought, on the first day of March last past, with force and arms also by striking, beating, and kicking aforesaid Joshua Spooner, so as to inflict several mortal bruises, of which Joshua Spooner died. And that Bathsheba Spooner, widow and late wife of Joshua Spooner, being seduced by the instigation of the devil, did incite, move, abet, counsel, and procure the murder of aforesaid Joshua Spooner. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Not guilty?
Not guilty.
What statement have you, Bathsheba Spooner?
I am the wife of the deceased. If what you accuse me of be true, what end could the death of my husband serve? Were there any reasons, persuading, hopes, inviting, or advantages arising from the death of my husband? By depriving myself of husband, I would subject myself to the burdens of a widow. If I hated my husband, as such has been said, could I not have separated from him, gone to my father or to my brothers? What foolishness is this to say I've loved Ezra Ross, when one of my station might have any gallant I please? Gentlemen, if I be guilty, I was not of sound mind.
Sheriff of our county of Essex, greetings. We command you that on Thursday, the 4th day of June next, between the hours of 12 and 4 of the clock in the afternoon, you cause William Brooks, James Buchanan, Ezra Ross, and Bathsheba Spooner to be conveyed from our jail, where they are now in your custody, to the usual place of execution, and there to be hanged by the neck until their bodies be dead.
The motive, the crime, and the sentence. Justice was simple. And quickly, too quickly for the four prisoners, the 4th day of June. This is a copy of the Worcester Spy dated that day that I have here. I'd like to read from it. It was about 2:30 of the clock in the afternoon when the four criminals were brought out of prison and conducted to the place of execution under a guard of 100 men. The three men went on foot. Mrs. Spooner was carried in a chaise, being then, as she had been for several days, exceedingly feeble. The procession was regular and solemn. Just before they reached the place of execution, one of the most terrific thunderstorms that had occurred within the memory of the oldest inhabitant darkened the heavens. There followed an awful time. The loud shouts of the officers amidst the crowd of 5,000 people, the horses pressing upon those in front, the shrieks of the women in the tumult and confusion, the malefactors slowly advancing to the fatal tree, preceded by the dismal coffins, the fierce coruscations of the lightning athwart the darkened horizon, quickly followed by loud peals of thunder, conspired together and produced a dreadful scene of horror. It seemed as if the author of nature had added such terrors to the punishment of the criminals as might soften the stoutest heart of the most obdurate and abandoned. At length, the place of execution having been reached, Ross, Buchanan, and Brooks ascended the ladder to the stage.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Ross made an audible prayer. The other two were engaged in silent devotions until they faced the noose. Mrs. Spooner, as she approached the tree, was seen to bow gracefully to many of the spectators with whom she had been acquainted. Then she crept up the ladder on her hands and knees. When the eyes of the malefactors were covered and all was ready, Mrs. Spooner took the sheriff by the hand. And for the first time, Bathsheba Spooner accepted the verdict of justice.
My dear sir, I am ready. In a little time, I expect to be in bliss. And but a few years must elapse when I hope I shall see you and my other friends again.
That's the way the newspaper recorded it. This has been my report of the crime of Bathsheba Spooner, the first woman tried and executed for murder in the United States.
Listeners, that was the story of Bathsheba Spooner. We hope that was an interesting and educational experience for you. It was for me. However, because of the fact that we have presented two feature stories rather than only one, we will not be presenting our police blotter and court news segment on this episode. The reason for that is mainly because we think it would be overly redundant to include more true crime immediately after our two previous true crime stories. But we will definitely return our police blotter segment on our next episode. We apologize to the many fans of the police blotter segment for the delay.
Nevertheless, on that note, we will now move on to our recommendations and advice segment. But just in case you have never heard this segment before, this is how it works. We will each take a few moments to mention and talk about something that we think our listeners might be interested in hearing about or knowing about. It might be a book, a movie, a TV show, a podcast, an app, a game, a food, a recipe, or maybe a store, a product, a life hack, or who knows?
It will always be something different.
By the way, we want our listeners to know that we do not synchronize or discuss our comments or suggestions in regard to this segment before we record.
That way, it's always a surprise for the listeners and for us.
So, okay, here we go.
Hi, friends. It's Jessica. My recommendation this week is going to be a little outside the norm. A few weeks ago, I lost a friend of mine to colon cancer. And my recommendation is that if you are within earshot of my voice, please make sure you are keeping up with your regular checkups and if you are age 45 or older, please speak to your doctor about scheduling a colonoscopy. We all lead such busy lives. It's easy to put routine maintenance of our health to the side, but let's go into the fall season with a clean bill of health from our healthcare professionals. Let's go into the fall happy and healthy. Thank you for listening. Be well, everyone.
So for this episode, I'm going to recommend a little app called Wordscapes. It's one of those ones that, you know, you get like 5 letters or 6 letters and you have to come up with different words that are in those letters. So it's kind of cool, but it's really just something to do if you're bored. I don't know, but I enjoy it.
Listeners, my recommendation on this episode is going to be short and simple. And here it is. I want you to keep in mind that in most of the U.S. right now, school is back in session. Kids are going back to school. Elementary school, middle school, high school. Kids are back in school. So, what I would like you to do is be alert. Be a careful driver. Keep your eyes open. There's going to be kids walking to school. There's going to be kids walking in the street. There's going to be kids crossing the street. Be careful. You don't want to have some unintended tragedy. To be a safe driver. That's it. That's the whole recommendation. That's all I would like you to do. Just be a fully alert driver. That's it. Watch out. There's going to be kids all over the place. That's my recommendation for everyone on this episode.
And that is the end of the recommendation and advice segment for this episode.
Listeners, if you have a suggestion for something that you would like us to mention on this segment, just send us an email, and if it's a good recommendation, we'll pass it along to our audience.
And thank you in advance for doing that.
Now, moving along, listeners, we will now once again ask you to take a quick moment when this episode is over and go to Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, then post a 5-star rating and review for the Forgotten News podcast. It bumps us up in the charts, and we know that's what you want to have happen.
In addition, your positive ratings and reviews are very appreciated since they help new people to discover our show, and then they can hear the stories that you hear on this podcast.
And for that reason, 5-star ratings only. And if your favorite streaming service or listening app carries this show and lets you leave a rating, please give the Forgotten News podcast a 5-star rating on there, too.
Now, in addition to ratings and reviews, we love hearing from you directly. So, if you have any comments, suggestions, or other feedback, simply send an email to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Just use the search feature and you'll find us. Now, in case you are a new listener to this show, I want you to know that you can interact with me personally on Twitter or Facebook in regard to this podcast or anything that you hear on this show. My Twitter handle is @KitCaren, which is spelled @KitCaren. My Facebook page has the same name, but with a hyphen. In other words, Kit-Karen. However, to avoid any confusion, there is a clickable link in the show notes. I'll be happy to talk to anyone in regard to just about anything. And as long as you talk nicely to me, I promise to reply as soon as I see your message. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you?
Hey everybody, this is Jessica. Feel free to give me your comments, compliments, or criticisms. Actually, you know what? I'm not taking criticisms. So you just keep those to yourself. But if you want to talk to me on social media, you can reach me anywhere at XOXOJessicaXOXO on Twitter or Facebook. I'm always pretty open and willing to hear from any of you. We can talk about me. We can talk about the podcast, whenever you want. Give me some recommendations. And with that being said, this is how you can reach me. My email is xoxojessicaxoxo@gmail.com. You can also reach me at xoxojessicaxoxo on all other social media. I really look forward to hearing from you.
Now, listeners, in case you don't already know, we are giving you all of these different ways of contacting us because we truly like hearing from you.
And we mean it when we say that.
And, well, with that being said, it's time to wrap up the episode.
I almost can't believe it.
I'm sorry, but it's true. We're just about done.
But, before we totally wrap up, I'm going to take a minute to share a weird historical fact. Because it's too short for an episode, or even for a mini episode, and we don't have enough free time to investigate as to whether or not it's actually true or not. So, for anyone who might be interested, here's a weird alleged fact for you. Here it is. In 1952, Keith Parkins, a 2-year-old boy, was playing with his older brothers on a cattle ranch in a small town in Oregon. Keith walked around the corner of the barn and then promptly disappeared, as if he had never been there. The family immediately searched for him, but found no trace. So they reached out to their relatives, neighbors, and friends. Over 200 people joined the search for Keith, but he was still not discovered. Then, late that evening, around 3 miles from where Keith was last seen, a small amount of tracks from a toddler were found. Outside of those tracks, no other clues were found. The tracks started out of nowhere and seemed to end nowhere. 19 hours later, his body was finally found, laying face down in a pile of snow, 8 miles away, in a dense area on top of a very rocky cliff. His father picked him up and realized he was still breathing. He had scratches on his face, and some of his clothes were found scattered around him. He ended up being okay, but he had no memory of what had happened, or how he had managed to walk nearly 12 miles from home, in the snow, and in tough, dense terrain. Now, this entire story, it might just be a myth. But we choose to believe it, because life is just more interesting that way. Now, one last thing, just a reminder, as we mentioned earlier, we will be presenting our annual Halloween episode in October, So if you would like to submit a story about any spooky or paranormal experience that you have had, just send us an email no later than October 2nd, 2023. It can be either written or an audio recording. It can be long or short. We will include it in the episode as long as it's clear and in plain English. Just send it to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com and put Halloween in the subject line. Thank you in advance, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Now, listeners, if you've made it this far, thank you for sticking around and listening to us talk.
We hope you have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, evening, day, night. Hey, whenever you happen to be listening.
Goodbye, everyone.
And remember, history is no mystery.
So, okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
This was episode 68, and well, that's everything. Bye. Dum dum da dum dum la 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 pa pa dum bum bum. This episode was recorded before a live audience of
us.
Bye, and be sure to listen to our next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
The pleasure of love will often last for only a moment, but the pain of love lasts for a lifetime.